himself for our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I'd like to welcome you today to our series entitled Padre Pio, the Priest Who Bore the Wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with a little greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Today in our program, we're going to focus on one of the most beautiful and important aspects of Padre Pio's life and spirituality, and that is his very special love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. It can be truly said that after his love for Jesus, his love for Mary was the greatest love of his life. He had a very tender love for our Blessed Lady. He used to refer to her very affectionately as Mamina, or Mia Mamina, which meant my little mother, my dear little mother. Sometimes he would call her Madonina, my little lady. And you might say that his love for our Blessed Lady resembled and reflected his love for his own mother, Mama Pepa, whom he loved very dearly. But Padre Pio's love was never a sentimental, saccharine kind of love. It was the love of a son who truly loved and believed in his mother, placed all his hopes in her love and care, trusted her. And this was very, very important. It was a love that began in his childhood. His mother, Mama Pepa, was deeply devoted to Our Lady, and she instilled that love for Our Blessed Lady in all of her children. After all, devotion to Our Lady was characteristic of all the people there in southern Italy. Padre Pio was a product of his own upbringing, his times, his environment, and certainly that love of Our Lady that flourished there in southern Italy was something he inherited through his family, through his just his environment, his growing up. And you might see on the triptych behind me there, the picture, a projected picture of Padre Pio in the middle of the triptych. Padre Pio, again, who is the focus of his love for Our Lady, is the focus of our talk here today. You know, I mentioned he was a product of his environment, his growing up there in southern Italy. And we can say for sure that the shrines to Our Lady, every town seemed to have their own local shrine and special way of honoring Our Blessed Lady. And the whole countryside was dotted with shrines to Mary. And this was also true in Pietrelcina. Pietrelcina had a great devotion to what Padre Pio called Our Own Madonna. In other words, Our Lady under a special title. And that title was Our Lady Liberatrix, or, as the Italians said, Madonna della Libera. Liberatrix, or Libera, freedom. Devotion goes all the way back to the 7th century. You see, there were a group of Greek invaders who had invaded that area and were threatening to overrun the district capital of Benevento. And so the people gathered together and prayed to Our Blessed Lady to save them. And through the intercession of Mary, the city was freed. It was liberated. And so Mary was given the title by the people of the Liberatrix, or Liberator. And so this great devotion to Mary under this title was preserved in the area of Pietrelcina down through the centuries. In fact, in 1854, a very deadly cholera epidemic broke out in the area. And where did the people turn? They turned to Our Lady Liberatrix. They asked Our Lady to free them once again, not from an invading enemy, physical enemy, but from this disease of the epidemic of cholera. Many people were dying. But they did. The people went to the church, prayed to Our Lady, then took the statue of Our Lady through the streets of the city there, Benevento and Pietrelcina, and they actually sense that Mary's presence would drive the cholera away. And sure enough, no one else, the cholera claimed no other victims, and the city was spared. Again, Our Lady of Libera freed the city from disaster and suffering. It happened one more time on Palm Sunday, year 1906. And most of the people in the town had gathered there in Pietrelcina, had gathered in the local church to pray. And all of a sudden, the sky became terribly darkened. Like it was almost like night, and it was the middle of the day. It began to rain clay and stones, and the people were frightened. They began to invoke Jesus and Mary. And finally, after invoking our Lord and our Blessed Lady so fervently, the storm stopped as quickly as it began. The sun came out. People walked home in safety. It was only a few days later that they learned that Mount Vesuvius, 50 miles away near the city of Naples, had exploded violently, erupted. And all this clay and stone was the effect of that eruption of that volcano. Again, Our Lady had protected her people, Our Lady of Libera. And the people of Pietrelcina would celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Libera, not just once during the year. They had a three-day celebration, but other little times they would remember her in a very special way. And it's interesting that Padre Pio, the wall of his cell, when he became a Capuchin Franciscan friar, the picture of Our Lady that he had was the Lady, Our Lady of Libera. As I said, he called her our own Madonna, our special Mary under our special veneration. The people there in southern Italy often went on pilgrimage to shrines of Our Lady. And young Francesco Forgione, Padre Pio's name as a young boy, he often went on pilgrimage. We know he went to Monte Vergine, about 30 miles away, up on the top, way up in the mountains, this shrine to our Blessed Lady. He also went to Pompeii, near Naples. In fact, he went the year before he entered the seminary, it seems, to thank Our Lady for his vocation to be a Franciscan, to be a priest. And we know later on in his life, when he spent some time in Naples, when he had been drafted into the military around 1915, 1917. He spent about 2 months in uniform in Naples. And Naples is right near, the shrine of Our Lady Pompeii is right near Naples. And he would often go there to pray to Our Lady, to ask for intercession. When young Francesco Forgione got on the train to go to the Capuchin novitiate in the city of Marconi in January of 1906, the only thing his mother gave him as a gift was a huge rosary bead. And this was probably very symbolic, very, very important, almost prophetic, because Padre Pio deeply loved the rosary. He used to say this about the rosary. He said, "Is there any prayer more beautiful than the prayer Our Lady herself taught us? Than the rosary?" He used to say, "Always pray the rosary." Padre Pio always could be seen, frequently, seen with the rosary beads slipping through his fingers. One day a man came to Padre Pio and he said to him, "Padre Pio, I said 5 rosaries today." Padre Pio said, "Oh, that's very good." He said, "I've said about 35. Well, the man was sort of taken back with that, and he is kind of disbelieving and skeptical. He said, "Padre Pio, how could you have said 35 rosaries? You've been busy all day." The Padre Pio said to the man, "Well, you do one thing at a time. I do 3 or 4 things at a time." So Padre Pio had said, up to that point, 35 rosaries during the day. He used to say, "Our Lady gave us the rosary, but the devil is always trying to take it away from us." And by that he meant, don't let anybody talk you out of the rosary. He would be very upset with people who today put down the rosary. They say, "Well, it's not important after Vatican II. Vatican II did not put down devotion to Our Lady. In fact, it promoted that love for Mary as both our mother, because she intercedes for us, and our model, because she's the one we have to follow in order to better serve Christ. When Padre Pio was, I remember when he was a little bit older, he was getting, when he had the help of some friars in his later years, assisting him to get dressed in the morning, as he was putting on his habit, he said to one of the friars, "Get me my weapon." And the friar said, Padre, you don't have a weapon. He said, my rosary. It was Padre Pio's weapon, the weapon to do good, to oppose evil, the power of the rosary. After the Holy Mass, it was Padre Pio's favorite prayer. I'd like to just show you my own rosary. This is a special rosary for me, because these rosaries were given to me by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I always claim this is my most precious possession. And certainly Mother Teresa, like Padre Pio, was someone who prayed the rosary constantly. You could sometimes see photographs of her giving a talk. And while she's giving a talk, those beads are slipping through her fingers. So she did more than one thing at a time, too, like Padre Pio. Padre Pio would often say, love Our Lady. Recite the rosary. May the Blessed Mother of God reign supreme over your hearts. That kind of expresses what Our Lady meant to Padre Pio, how central she was to his whole spirituality. You know, love Our Lady. Go to her often when we need her, invoking her, to seek her powerful intercession. St. Bernard had a beautiful prayer. He used to say, in all need and all trouble, go to Mary, turn to her. Have her name on your lips, have it in your heart, and that you might secure her help as your advocate, never cease, he said, to follow the example of her life. One day a man came to Padre Pio, and he said to Padre Pio, Padre Pio, give me a ticket to heaven. And Padre Pio said to the man, be devoted to the Blessed Mother. That will be your ticket to heaven. So the man thanked Padre Pio, and Padre Pio says, well, let me illustrate. He said, you see, one day up in heaven, a great big crowd of people had just come in the pearly gates. And our Lord came walking by. He's looking over this crowd of people, and he saw that among this huge crowd of people, a lot of the people were not yet ready to come in. So he called St. Peter over. He said, Peter, I gave you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, but you're only supposed to let in the people who are ready to come in. And St. Peter said, well, Lord, you know, everybody's excited when I open the gate. Everybody wants to come in, but I'll try to do better at my job. But it's very hard because everybody wants to come in. Well, a couple of days later, our Lord comes walking by, and there's an even bigger crowd of people. And he sees a number of them who are not ready to come in, and he said to them, he said to Peter again, he called St. Peter over, and he said, Peter, the other day I told you, only let in the people that are ready to come in. And St. Peter said, Lord, I didn't want to tell you the other day, Lord, we have a problem, and it's a problem not even you can solve. Well, our Lord was stunned. What problem was there that our Lord couldn't solve? And St. Peter said to our Lord, Lord, you know, you gave me this key to open the door of the kingdom of heaven, and that's what I do. He said, and you know, but when I open the door, everybody wants to come in. But I tell them they have to wait their turn. I close the door, lock it, and they're walking away. And the problem is your mother. You see, she's got another key. She comes over, she opens the door, and lets everybody in. Well, that's a great problem, isn't it? He devoted to Our Lady, and she'll be there at the door of the kingdom of heaven to let us in. Padre Pio learned from Our Lady. He built on that simple piety and love and devotion he had to Our Lady as a child. He built it in such his devotion on that, but through understanding, meditation, theology, he was able to integrate that love of Mary into his whole life. It was Mary who taught him to live his Christian life to the full. Now, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at how Our Lady intervened in the life of Padre Pio, and we're going to see another special title of Our Lady that Padre Pio loved. Padre Pio helped introduce me to Our Lady and give me a devotion to Mary, but because I knew about Mary, but I didn't feel as close to her. And then after Padre Pio, I got closer to Mary. And then after Mary, she introduced me to Jesus, and then I got closer to the Holy Spirit, and then now my spirituality is going into God the Father. Padre Pio has been
a wonderful example to me of great holiness and humility, and that to become holy does not mean that you become inhuman.
Praying the rosary was a big devotion that Padre Pio had, and he used to say that the rosary is the weapon.
Welcome back to our program on Padre Pio. Today, as you know, we're focusing on his great love and devotion to our Blessed Lady. We looked at his love for Our Lady under her title of Our Lady of Liebetrix, a title that was popular there in his native town of Pietrelcina. But there was another great love, or love for Our Lady under another great title, and that was Our Lady of Fatima. We must remember that the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima took place from May to October 1917. It was just around that time that Padre Pio was receiving the stigmata. He had received the invisible wounds in September of 1915, so 2 years before the apparitions of Our Lady, and he received the visible stigmata in 1918, 1 year after Our Lady had appeared. And Our Lady's message was a very important one, dear to the heart of Padre Pio. And that was that Our Lady was saying that God wanted to establish devotion to her Immaculate Heart as a way of bringing about peace in the world. She encouraged us to offer to God all that we did, all the things that we did in our daily lives, and to offer special sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. And Padre Pio was filled with that love for the conversion of sinners, that he wanted to be a victim soul. He wanted to be with Christ, joined with Christ in his work of redeeming the world. And so that naturally attracted him to Our Lady of Fatima and to her message. We can also point out that twice Our Lady intervened to save his life. Once in 1911, when Padre Pio was suffering from very serious illness, so much so the doctors thought he would die. He was for about 3 weeks in bed at a friary in a town called Venafero. And there, Padre Pio was confined to bed, as I mentioned. They had to bring him back to his hometown of Pietrelcina to convalesce. And he arrived there on December the 7th. The next day, he woke up. He was totally cured on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so, again, Our Lady intervened for him, and he was able to say Mass that day in honor of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. I should point out, as a title under which Mary is very specially honored in the Franciscan Order. Mary intervened again in 1959 to save Padre Pio when it seemed that he was at death's door. He was at San Giovanni Rotondo. On May 5th of 1959, he had come down with a serious case of pleurisy. The doctors also noticed a tumor on his lung that threatened his life. Now, just at that time, the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Our Lady of Fatima was touring all of Italy. She had been there for about 2 months, and on around that time, they brought the statue of Our Blessed Lady to San Giovanni Rotondo, and they brought it down by helicopter. They put the statue downstairs in the friary, and Padre Pio had a great deal of difficulty getting down the stairs to venerate the statue, kiss the statue of Our Lady. He went back upstairs and was lying in bed, and they were ready to take the statue of Our Lady away. And he went over to the window, and he opened up the shutters just as the helicopter was flying away with the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And he prayed at the window, "My dear mother, since you arrived in Italy, I have been reduced to helplessness by this illness. And now that you are leaving, have you nothing to give me?" In an instant, he felt a warmth come over him. He was totally cured. Some days later, people were wondering why the statue of Our Lady had been brought to San Giovanni Rotondo instead of maybe to the nearby shrine of St. Michael, the Monte Sant'Angelo, the Mountain of the Holy Angel. And Padre Pio remarked, "Because Our Lady came here, she wanted to cure Padre Pio." Later on, Padre Pio was to become the spiritual director patron of the Blue Army of Our Lady of Fatima. In addition to Mary intervening with Padre Pio to save his life from illness and suffering, Our Lady also assisted him spiritually. This happened particularly when the devil would attack him. After all, Mary was the woman of Genesis 3:15. You know, when God said to the serpent, the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." And many times when the devil assaulted him, Mary protected him. She also taught him to suffer. Let me share with you a beautiful quote that he wrote in a letter to Father, his spiritual director, Padre Benedetto, in July of 1915. He says this: May the Most Holy Virgin obtain for us a love of the cross, a love of pain and suffering. And may she who was the first to practice the gospel in all its perfection before it was written, enable us and stimulate us to follow her example. We must make every effort to walk close to her, since there is no other path leading to life except the path followed by our mother. Later on, he wrote to another of his spiritual directors, Padre Agostino, talking about trust in Our Lady. Hasn't God placed all his graces in Our Lady's hands? He has placed the cause of my salvation and the ultimate victory in her hands. Protected and guided by so tender a mother, I will continue to fight as long as God wills, full of confidence in this mother and certain that I will never succumb. Those are beautiful words, knowing that the graces of his life, he said they were actually, he was put in Mary's care, that she would be the one who would assist him in working out his salvation and following her son. After all, she's the one who taught us. Do whatever my son tells you. Mary doesn't keep us from Jesus. In fact, Pope John Paul II once said, not only will Mary not keep you from Jesus, she'll bring you closer to Jesus. In fact, she will teach you how to love Jesus. And that's exactly what Padre Pio experienced. So he enjoyed her spiritual assistance, but even in his apostolic work, Mary was with him. He confided to some of the friars that Our Lady often remained by his side while he heard confessions. Imagine having the intercession of Our Lady of Mercy to be with him there in the confessional as he distributed God's mercy. He once said this, he wanted to be an apostle of Mary's love and mercy. He said, I would like to have a voice loud enough to invite the sinners of the whole world to love Our Lady. So Padre Pio knew Mary's love and intercession for sinners. One time a friar asked him, you see Our Lady, don't you? Padre Pio says, she comes to me whenever I need her. On another occasion, Padre Pio said that all the great graces of his life came to him through Our Lady. Now, he would be a great defender of Mary's title as mediatrix of all graces. He said that Mary showered him with special graces. Quote, this is a quote of his, she treats me as if I were her only child on the face of the earth. One friar asked Padre Pio, does Our Lady ever come to your cell? Padre Pio said, you should ask me instead, does she ever leave my cell? So Padre Pio had Our Lady's presence there with him. Father Alessio, who took care of Padre Pio for the last years of his life, said sometimes before he'd go to bed, he would comb his hair. Most people don't comb their hair when they go to bed. They usually comb it when they get up in the morning. Was he going to meet somebody? He wanted to look presentable. Was he going to meet Our Lady? Seems that she often appeared to him. Other expressions of his great love for Our Lady were the fact that he preferred to say Mass at Our Lady's altar, as well as the altar, too, of St. Francis. He frequently celebrated a votive Mass in honor of the Immaculate Conception. As I mentioned, Mary, under that title, is very special to Franciscans, because in the Franciscan order, we've always treasured that title and defended that prerogative of Our Lady. When his eyesight was failing, he was dispensed from the obligatory Mass of the day. He didn't have to say the Mass called for in the Ordo of the day. Rather, he was allowed to say either the Mass of Our Lady or the Mass for the dead. And he often would be seen praying before a beautiful image of Our Lady of Graces there in the monastery at San Giovanni Rotondo. So Padre Pio had a very great love for Our Lady. He wrote a beautiful meditation on the Immaculate Conception, and he says this in a prayer. He said, protected with grace by him who was to be the Savior of mankind that had fallen into sin, Mary escaped all shadow of evil. She sprang from the mind of God as a pure ray of light and will shine like a morning star over the human race that turns to her. She will be a sure guide who will direct our steps toward the divine Son, which is Jesus Christ. He makes her radiant with divine splendor and points to her as our model of purity and sanctity. No creature surpasses her, but all creation defers to her through the grace of him who made her immaculate. And you know, and it came to the time of his death, on September 23rd, 1918, at 2:30 in the morning, Padre Pio was still praying his rosary. The beads were slipping through his hands. He was invoking the whole theme of Jesus and Mary. And these were his last words. His last word may have been to invoke the name of our Blessed Lady. What a great love he had for her. But he loved all the saints and the angels of God. And in our next program, we're going to look at his very special love for the angels. God bless you.